The following is a presentation of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. The World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO. And, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall. Episode 16 of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about preparation, mental training, all sorts of things that go into getting yourself prepared for matches, education, coaching, with John McGovern, head coach at Dubuque. Dennis Hall will be joining us later, and Terry Brands, as always, our guests today. Our two-time Olympic medalist, 1972 Olympic champion and 76 Olympic silver medalist Ben Peterson, and one of the co-founders of WrestlingMindset.com and a proud Penn Quaker, Gene Zanetti. And we're going to be talking all sorts of things. And before we get to our distinguished dais of people, we want to jump to Mr. Zanetti, along with your brother Jeff. You founded WrestlingMindset.com. And before we get to our discussions today, Gene, what is WrestlingMindset.com and why did you and your brother launch it?
Okay, so just realizing as wrestlers ourselves, you know, be at your best, you have to be mentally prepared every time you step out on the mat. And coaches tell you all the time, you know, just relax or just believe in yourself. But rarely do coaches tell you exactly how to do it. So we approach the mindset the same way you'd approach strength training or technique. It has to be done on a regular basis, and you have to actually be putting the work and putting the pen to paper. You know, just listening to me does very little. So that's everything we're dedicated towards, consistent mindset training.
Now, of course, everybody talks about the mindset, and this is not just aimed at Gene and Jeff and what they're doing with wrestling mindset, but Coach Brands, you hear that term mindset thrown around a lot, and Coach McGovern, and of course, actually everybody on this call, so let's not just single people out, I hear it a lot. And you hear that word, and it's kind of a buzzword, and sometimes it means routine, sometimes it means, you know, preparation, sometimes it means just anger. I mean, people use that word in so many different ways. And as it relates to wrestling, I want to go to Coach Peterson here first. And first of all, thanks for joining the call. It's honestly an honor to have you on. But, you know, there's a story floating around that your routine didn't really exist in pre-match preparation until you met a guy named Dan Gable.
Well, I don't know if I fully agree with that. I am an older brother that prepared me for Gable, or I would have run away from him. So I had several things in training that I was doing, but Gable, anytime you stay around him very long, you'll be influenced on doing things in a consistent, intense way. I came to Iowa State actually doing some running that I'd done in high school for football, because my older brother was a football player for the University of Wisconsin, and he taught me how to run a mile and do sprints. And I got doing that as a high school football player and then wrestler. And so when I came to Iowa State and then met Gable, I was encouraged that, hey, the best are doing the same thing. So I kept doing it.
Now, from an educational standpoint, what did you learn during your days as an elite athlete that helps you now coach and teach kids, whether it be at a club level or at a collegiate level, that, you know, certain things about preparation and mindset that you took from your days as an athlete that you were able to work into your systems?
Since we're on the subject during the off season right now, a lot of times we look for, you know, grand weightlifting programs and running programs, and I think what I found myself and I find now as a coach is the simplest and best thing is to get kids, get them out of bed, get them out of their house. Lifting three times a week, it doesn't have to be long. There should be intense for something a half hour to an hour. And the same thing in running. Get out and do it, and do it three times a week. I always tell guys, you do that three times a week, those two things three times a week in the off season, when you get to wrestling, you're not all of a sudden deciding, oh, I got to get in shape, I got to get strong now. So you peak yourself when you get to wrestling and you're spending time with your coaches. I find it wearisome when I have to get a kid in shape. But when a kid comes to me already working and in condition, it's a huge benefit to me as a coach to developing and sharpening. And so the off season now, I'm just encouraging kids you want to be a wrestler, you want to think of being on a wrestling team next year, just do some facial running and lifting weights in the off season.
I'm going to go kick it over back to Gene. And, with the way you guys got things set up, and you're dealing with a lot of kids, you're dealing with college programs, you're dealing with high school programs and youth programs, is it different now from when you – obviously, it's much different. I mean, it's kind of a loaded question, but, the differences from when you were growing up as a wrestler, which wasn't, as – no disrespect to Mr. Peterson, wasn't as long ago as Ben was wrestling coming up. But, what are some things that you've noticed that, that maybe echo with what Coach Peterson was saying that you have to do with – developing y'all's mindset training system and the way you guys implement it for high school, college, and youth levels?
Yeah, I just think there's a lot more distractions going on. I mean, there's always distractions, but now with you have track wrestling, kids could follow all their opponents. Flow wrestling, I think, is a great tool, but also a lot of wrestlers look at it and they size up their opponents before they even wrestle them. A scouting's fine, that's a different story. But when you're sizing up the guy to see how you compare to them, that's when you're kind of getting caught up in that type, that fan mentality. We know how to be great fans, but we all don't know how to be competitors. So we try to teach the wrestlers how to think like a competitor and forget about the rankings, the records, the seedings, predictions. Who cares if you lost to a guy and he got pinned by someone else? That has nothing to do with your match wrestling. So it's just all those different distractions can pull the wrestler from focusing on the most important things, which is focus on yourself and improve as much as you personally can. Don't worry about your opponents. Focus on yourself. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense to me, except for that whole rankings and predictions thing. They're kind of treading on my area here, man. I want people to read that stuff. No, anyway.
It's great for wrestling. It's great for wrestling. It's great for the sport of wrestling because, the parents, the fans, they get more into it. It's a great thing. It's just as a competitor, you can't be a spectator also. You have to pick which side of the line you're on. You're a spectator or you're a competitor. There can't be any overlap in between.
Coach Brands, it's an interesting thing to be brought up because, the certain way that you teach, senior-level athletes and even the higher-level college guys, I mean, you talk about them getting dialed in. What are some things that you notice that has to change when you're, say, you're just an All-American at the University of Iowa, and you want to become a, USA Wrestling senior national champion, a world teamer? What's got to change in terms of the athlete mindset? I mean, are there things that change, or is it something that you've drilled in from when they were coaching, or you were coaching them at Iowa, onto the senior level?
I think it's, a combination of being able to grow forward from the things that you did really well and the things that you didn't do so well, and then making sense of that, and then being able to take that to the next level. And the key there is you don't lie to yourself in the terms of how good you think you are, but you don't beat yourself up in terms of maybe if you don't think that you're good enough. You have to have a belief in yourself. A lot of coaches say you got to buy in. Well, you got to buy into yourself first. You got to believe in the environment that you create. And that goes back to your personal morality and your belief in, what your religious beliefs are and where you are with your relationship with God and that kind of thing, and how you're moving forward through the society and the culture that's pulling at you from a whole bunch of different ways, and then how you're going to deal with that and how you're going to manage your time going forward. Because as a senior level athlete, if you weren't getting it done in college and you're not going to change, you know, the things that are pulling you, it's going to be really difficult to get it done at the senior level. And let's say you did get it done at college, and you're going to have to really buckle down and figure out what worked for you there, and then be able to make sense of that and then buckle down even more. And you're going to have to, you know, go more toward the way of being more diligent with your workouts, spending more time on your recovery, spending more time on your rest and your studies of your opposition and your opponents and that kind of thing. And, you know, like Wrestling Mindset said there, it's not a dwelling thing. It's more of a where I'm dwelling on my opponent, but it's an awareness. I'm aware of the rankings. I'm aware of who's in my weight class. I'm aware of who might move up or down, those kind of things. And, you know, you say the transition, what's the difference? Well, the difference is what you're willing to do to put yourself as the best chance that you have to be a top contender all the time.
One thing Gene said that kind of stood out, that jumped out at me, and now I've heard your opinion on it. Now, what is your thoughts about teaching someone to be a competitor? Obviously, you come into a program like Iowa, you've got to be somewhat of a competitor. You don't recruit guys that aren't competitors. But is there a certain type of trait that you can look at when recruiting a kid and goes, that guy is a competitor? He's going to need to be trained differently for maybe a kid that might be a little green. It's like that. We need to teach that kid how to compete.
Well, you got to be careful there, because some guys are intense competitors on the wrestling mat, and they have that carry over from the wrestling room. Some guys, you know, like take a Randy Lewis, for example, you know, he wasn't very competitive in the practice room when he was young. At least the stories say that. And then when you put him in an Iowa singlet out on the mat, you know, nobody can beat him. So you got to really get to understand the people you're recruiting. You got to understand what makes them tick. I mean, if you have a guy who, you know, has a reputation for being a rear end kicker on the mat, and, you know, you go watch him practice and you're not impressed, that doesn't mean that he's not a guy for your program. The things that you're looking for are the response. Like when a coach talks to him, is his response toward that coach respectful? Is his response toward that idea respectful? Does it really rattle around between his ears? And then, you know, moving forward, that's how you see it. If they're rolling their eyes and they're, you know, not paying attention to the feedback that they're getting during practice, then that's when you start to see red flags and you start to, you know, try to get to know the guy better and find out what's going on in that head and see if it's going to be a fit for your program.
Coach Peterson, was there a moment that you realized that you became a competitor? Was that something that you felt was maybe innate between you and your family, or is it something that you had to foster and develop and realize that I am a competitor? I was taught this. You remember that type of moment?
I remember the year that I realized, and it would have been my senior year in high school, and I qualified for the state tournament as a junior, and I got pinned both times that I wrestled at the state tournament that year, but I came home just understanding what state level wrestling was all about. And with the encouragement of my family, my parents, and my brothers, very definitely, I set very solid that I could be a state champion the following year. And the way I trained during that year, my whole mentality changed in the way I was a student, the way I operated my family, and the way I competed was totally different. And the confidence that I got because I put the time in and I saw the change. And in myself personally, in just physically stronger and better condition. Then people around me started complimenting me for that. They saw that. And so I think it all worked together. They're encouraging me, but I'm saying now I'm not going to be an average wrestler anymore. And I'm paying the price to be different. And that the confidence that built when a young man starts doing extra things and doing them intently, it completely changes it. And I have to say that it wasn't any specific day during that year, but by the end of it, even when I got to the finals of the state tournament again and got pinned in them, so I never did win and didn't accomplish my goal. But when it was all said and done, I looked back and said, Ben, you're not the same man anymore. And it probably when it was all said and done, it was even it confirmed more in my mind that I was different and I was a competitor and I would keep trying another level.
John, I want to bring this to you now since you coach at the Division III level and, you know, unlike Coach Brands, where, you know, usually most people that go to University of Iowa, they're looking for something. They're looking to compete. They're, you know, it's a little different. You know, they're wired a little different than when they attend Dubuque. And when you get a kid that wants to compete, that is a competitor at the Division III level, and then you've got a room full of guys that come, you know, Division III, they come to wrestle because they enjoy the sport. There's no scholarships. And you're going to have that mix of kids that, yeah, they want to compete. Yeah, the kids that like want to get a little better, the kids that want to be part of a team, and then the kids that are kind of like, yeah, I like wrestling, but they're not really wired to try to win a national championship. They're there for the camaraderie. What do you do in terms of coaching to get certain guys in certain ways? Obviously, there's an individualistic approach and there's a systematic approach. We'll talk about that in a moment. But from a Division III level and a coach, what do you do with those type of varying degrees of athletes that you get that you might not see at the senior level or in division high levels of Division I wrestling?
Well, I think the guys that compete, they're feeling the same thing when they compete. I mean, they're getting excited. They're the competition. And so I don't know who puts on a singlet that doesn't feel the same kind of energy surge and fired up and living full life and want to win and doesn't really want to lose. But I mean, yeah, there's different levels of that degree of commitment. And, like Ben was saying, I mean, if you run, and you're doing those things, it's hard to be not building confidence if you're running, you're training, you're wrestling. And I was even thinking about Brands. I mean, if the athlete, when Brands would, after Midlands, whether he'd won or lost, he'd run those sprints. And then he'd, but it's doing things. And when you're doing more, when you're lifting and you're running and you're building confidence and you're improving, you usually feel good about yourself. And it feels like for some guys, they're natural competitors, but you know, it's, starts with the dream and desire of something they want to do. And I always tell my guys, I mean, if you can't really stand out and fit in. I mean, you got to decide if you're going to fit in and settle in. But if you're going to stand out, then you're going to have to do some extra things. You're going to have to run when other guys aren't running. You're going to have to do individual workouts when they're not organized practices. And those individual things get their mind going, get their confidence, believing that they're training harder than anybody else on the planet. And I feel like that can happen at any level. I mean, we've had D3 guys beat D1 national champs. And, you know, it's not like our D3 guys, I mean, we got one on the world team. So I wouldn't want to say D3, but I know what you're saying, Jason. Yes, we do have some guys that they wouldn't say that they're wanting to work that hard, but they want to still experience the camaraderie, the values that they build through the sport. They want to know themselves better. But they want to win. They want to know what their strengths are as an athlete and how they can. They want to be coached and they want to, you know, they want to have that experience. So at all levels, and when I wrestled at Iowa with Gable and Hawk Club, I mean, they had the same degree of level of athletes. Some that just wanted to be a part of the team and want to be a part of the program. I that's how I felt. But then there was the elite guys. So I don't know. I would say level, but maybe level of commitment, but division doesn't separate that.
I've been at all levels myself, and I've been at a very small Division III, even independent college setting that I coached at for a long time. And I saw that there were some guys, they played other sports even, they only wanted to be wrestlers during the season. And we had to have guys like that to fill in the team, but we still had every year that I coached at that level. I had some people that they would train all year long, and they were as serious, maybe not as gifted as Division I athletes, but they were very serious about it. But I always had to, as a coach, work with those guys that I knew when the season was over, they were going to be gone and busy on other things. But we needed them to fill out, to sharpen our team. And so, as a coach, and even working with the rest of the team, I would always say, you know, some of the guys, the serious guys, really get upset with them. I say, hey, let's be patient. This team needs those guys and let's work to keep them involved and bring them to a higher level, even if it's only going to be for the 3 or 4 months of the season. And I think we have to do that. When I think back to being at Iowa State, there were guys who only trained during the wrestling season. Now, the season of training the Division I is longer than what a Division III, particularly in the past years, would have been. But some of those guys didn't train in the off season, and therefore they didn't do well. But as John had said here, there's an awful lot of guys in Division III. They are ready to train all year long, just as much as any Division I guy. And as a result, they do very well.
Well, also interesting enough, I think when people talk about the small colleges up there at Maranatha Baptist, there's that kid named Ben Hoover, and maybe known for the pin over Matt Lackey in the 07 Midlands. I mean, this is a little bit of a sidetrack story, but you know that's an interesting story. Want to explain that one just a little bit? I mean, it's not germane to the topic, but I'm just curious about it.
Well, what do you want to know about it?
Oh, I've seen him wrestle. I'm just saying, you know, he pinned a national champion. And this goes back to what Coach McGovern was saying. He's had kids beat D1 champs. But that year, you know, Lackey was a post-grad wrestling at the Midlands, the number one seed. And nobody had heard of Ben Hoover outside of probably that little town up in Wisconsin, really. And boom, goes out and pins Matt Lackey.
Ben came from Indiana, and he actually transferred from a Division III college in Indiana. And he was doing well, and he just he was second in the nation after that, and also he placed second and fifth in the Division III. So he was 2-time All-American afterwards. So he wasn't just an average wrestler, but nobody knew of him, and he just plain stayed with Lackey at every turn, and then I did a Standing Peterson and all. I'm the nicest one I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know that I ever talked much about the roles with him. He just learned it, and he was confident in staying on the mat with him that day and did the job.
Yeah, not every day you get a Ben Hoover reference thrown out there. Of course, I remember watching him at Division III. And now, as we circle back to our discussion, I was just wanting to get that. I just wanted to hear that story just because it's not one that you hear a lot. But I want to circle back to Gene, and because it was his learning how to be a competitor comment that really started that last roundtable topic. And now, Gene, dealing with different systems and things, and you know, obviously, you guys have a system, and again, systematic versus individual approach. There's a little bit of, you know, where they can meld together, but from a systematic approach, what is one thing that you've noticed that is the biggest thing? You know, okay, you got to train to be a competitor, but you know, the biggest thing in trying to basically meld somebody, whether it be physically or mentally, into a wrestler. Obviously, there's a lot of distractions. Kids are prescribed more ADD and ADHD drugs than ever before. I remember when I was a kid, you know what our cure for that was go outside and play. And, you know, that's how some people got into wrestling. They were hyperactive. Hey, put them into wrestling. And, you know, we didn't need drugs for that. But what are some things that with this generation of kids coming up that you found you've got to correct more or try to train the coaches more than you had to experience just 10 years ago?
Okay. Well, first to address the individuality versus the systematic. Yes, we do have a systematic program. I think, you know, you have to look at the wrestlers as individuals, but there has to be a system in place. Otherwise, you're just all over the place. You know what I mean? So we address that individuality with our one-on-one phone sessions with the wrestlers. But we do take them through a system. So it's a little bit of both. You know, there can't be a cookie-cutter fix for everyone. Everyone has different issues. But it's the coach's job, in this case, the mindset coach's job, to steer your focus onto the right things. Just like a technical coach would say, you know, make sure you put your arm here. Make sure you put your head here. And where there's no technique that one size fits all, there are some principles that we could all agree upon are the key to success. Well, it's the same thing with your mindset. We just direct them to those key principles. That makes sense? So circling back to your question about what's the sort of the difference in athletes and what we have to do now with the athletes, I think a big thing is having the wrestlers not try to conform as much to their friends, to really see themselves as individuals. And one of the things we always preach is be the one in 10. So nine out of 10 friends are going to do one thing. If you want to be successful, you have to be the one in 10 that's willing to go against the grain. And that even goes in a serious wrestling room or a serious wrestling club. Even though you might have other state qualifiers, state place winners, or even state champions in the room, you can't assume that everyone else is doing everything right. You have to live a certain way. So, like we tell all the wrestlers, you know, you have to be fanatical about your mindset, your nutrition, your technique. Don't get caught up in what your friends are doing. Don't get caught up in that social element. And again, with all the social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it's a great thing. It helps promote the sport. But kids are more likely to conform to be more like their friends. And if they want to succeed, they have to start thinking like the most successful people and be more individuals. Make sense?
Coach Brands, what do you got on that? Obviously, because we talk about systems and, you know, Gene talked about, you know, obviously it's being individual. When I think about a system in the way that Gene puts it, I'm thinking about a system being team rules. It's something that you have to adhere to. That is the system. And then the training and the mindset approach comes, again, like Gene said, individually. Is there a real system involved in your individual athlete training, Coach Brands?
Well, I think there's a system involved in everything that you're doing. It doesn't mean that it's a system in the way that it checks the box, and then if we check all the boxes, everybody's going to be good. I think the system is in you, meaning if you're giving it to a team, then it's in you as a coach to get that information to the team. If you're an individual athlete, then it's in you to have to hold yourself accountable to that set of rules or set of, you know, whatever, to make yourself or your team become as successful as they can. But the way I'll answer that in a quick way is, you know, it's like, let's talk about, you know, social issues. People want to make it a law that you can or you can't do something. It's really not the law or the legislate that's going to break that habit or propel that habit forward. It's really going to be your personal morality. So as a person and as a coach, we have to teach those individual values and the things that help people become successful and get that information to ourselves and to our athletes or our student athletes, and then have them be able to act on that and hear from us every single day. And it's not turn your head to the guy that you don't think is going to be helping your lineup. I'm not going to turn my head to that guy. I'm going to help him as much as I am to our best contender. And, you know, like Ben said, you know, I was at Chattanooga, Tennessee. I've been at Montana State Northern, in NAIA school, and Tyson Thievery and Emmett Wilson. Emmett Wilson won the Hotz Trophy for Northern Montana out of the NAIA school. He beat everybody that year. Tyson Thievery beat 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6 out of the NCAA that year. You know, and, you know, those are things that those guys grabbed a hold of, because once you get them to believe in themselves, then that stuff starts to carry over. And it's not a system in the way that our culture thinks about it. It's a getting to know your athlete, giving them the information, walking away from them, letting them grow, coming back when they slip, picking them up, letting them grow, patting them on the butt when they, you know, go forward at a rate that's maybe, you know, faster, or they come up with a profound idea and you're going, wow, I never thought of that. That'll help me too, you know, those kind of things. So yeah, that's kind of a long way to answer it, but, you know, it's really where it is you got to get it to get them to believe that it's their ideas, and then they have to make sense of it moving forward.
Jason, I believe that, Terry, you would agree with this, that a lot of it then is your beliefs, your belief system. And so you draw on that and those values. And with your experience, as you grow, your belief systems can be strengthened by the relationships you have with other successful people. Example, you know, Coach Gable. So those belief systems you draw upon in the times of battle or combat, where maybe you don't have time to just resort back to, yeah, my, you know, your affirmation statement right in the middle of the match. You become that person that you believe you are, and that's who you're competing as. Would you say that's kind of accurate?
I think it's what you make sense of it, and then being able to spread that information forward. It doesn't really matter if me and Ben Peterson are having a conversation and he's saying, "Hey, Terry, I think you need to do this." And, well, you know what, man, that didn't really work for me, you know. Like, I wasn't a roller. I wasn't a funky guy. And for me to be able to come up with that information and then Ben to be able to come alongside of me and go, "Well, what do you think of this?" And maybe talking to me more from a fundamental point of view. And then maybe it becomes my own idea to learn how to roll from a more fundamental point of view. You know, that's from the technical aspect. You can mold the mind and the spirit and relationships the same way. So it doesn't really matter if I agree with what John McGovern thinks. If John McGovern's getting that information to his guys and his guys believe and they're growing better as human beings every day, it really doesn't matter. That's all that we're talking about here, is a belief system that people can come together and then they can create their own ideas and move forward and advance humanity every day within each individual mindset. You know, that's really where mental toughness and all this stuff comes from, in my opinion.
And that's where I like what you're saying, because that believes that everybody has a value, a gift, a purpose that God has given. And that belief system, and this is where, if I can share this quote, Ben, you wrote it, "We are not better than others because we are wrestlers or because our team is one. We work to avoid big ego, arrogance, exclusiveness. Wrestling is a unique experience, but we still all live on the same planet, and we want to advance humanity." So you, as a unique individual, responsible for that growth, knowing yourself and utilizing those things, whatever results happen in your life, you're responsible, but surrounding yourself with people with those kind of values. And that's why I like you, Terry. That's why I like Ben and Gene. I put you on the call. I know you're a man of faith, and you're looking to build values, and those are belief systems, and that's mental. That's the part of the mental part, but it's also, it's not really a system, but a belief. It's a belief. And I believe the values of Gable, hard work, his parents raised him up and put him in that construction job. He talks about his dad hiring the guy to keep him to work, and his, when he lost to Larry Owens, his mom said, "I love you, but don't be a Molly Putz. You know, don't feel sorry for yourself." I mean, those kind of values I like, and I think he talks about never giving up and believing as an athlete, never give up, but then as coaches, you guys, he didn't give up on MacGregor when he was down in the finals, that first NCAA championship match, and they said MacGregor looked in the corner, and I think MacGregor got phased from those coaches, and I just believe that the wrestling life of Gable is a great book on that, but you're right, they got to be your own, but you can certainly learn from others that have had the success that you're trying to get in something you're trying to do, but you might have to do it your way and know your own strengths to do it.
Well, yeah, and the thing, when I say on your own, I'm not saying that you have to learn it on your own. I'm saying that you surround yourself with people, like you said, and especially the young kids, you know, and that's where wrestling coaches can have a huge impact. And just like the quote you read from Ben, you know, that's where we can come alongside these guys and give them the information and then let it be their own idea. Who cares really whose idea it is? Everybody's all, "Well, I thought of that." I thought, it doesn't really matter. Because as long as we continue to build on that morality, you know, and you know, that faith, then that's where we're really, you know, moving forward.
Ben, wanna jump in on that and that quote that Coach McGovern just pointed out, and you know, you talk about there's this, you know, all wrestlers have some type of ego, but some of this is about kind of, you know, checking your ego at the door, and you know, explain maybe the backstory on where that line came from.
Well, he's reading from my latest Wind magazine article, and I found myself working with guys who they get to the end of the season, they begin to think they can live without concern, and they get in trouble. And I've watched that happen over and over again through the years. Guys start doing things they hadn't been doing during the season, and they get in trouble with the law, they get in trouble with their friends. And that's really where that statement, to why I put it together the way I did. The thought, I guess, maybe in response to what's been said here, we've talked about, Tom, you talked about the importance of each individual. And then that is so, so true. Each individual has to, we work through issues of life, not just wrestling, but all issues of life. Every one of us has to do that. And what I find our culture and society often saying, though, is that we all can do that in our own way. But there are certain absolutes, and there are certain principles that this world is governed by, and morality and standards that we have should be those absolutes. You know that gravity works. Therefore, you live understanding that. But you also understand that if I break the law, I'm going to have to pay for it. And if I'm dishonest, I'm going to have to keep lying to cover it. And those kinds of absolutes, they don't change. And when you step on the wrestling mat, you want to talk about a technique, there are certain principles of positioning that are really kind of absolute. But we change and adjust them to fit us individually because of the we're different build and we're different our strength and balance of positions that we understand and know. And so we do a 100 different varieties, but we still have to remember the basics of things. And so as a coach, and all of us in our coaching, the work to help kids in that, to understand those absolutes, and then and work from there in their own unique way. That, to me, is why wrestling is so exciting, because it's so varied. Every kid does it different. Every wrestler does it different. And so in off the mat, where we're talking about our relationship with God and other people, we should always work for those absolutes. And why each day I still have the habit after all these years to go and read God's Word. I don't run anymore. I walk. I still lift weights, so I tell people I play with them. I still have to do that. And I still want to keep reading God's Word. So it's where you get the stability and you get the absolutes. And when we as coaches and as men, as dads, bring that to our young men, we are helping them immensely.
You talk about, you know, getting in Scripture and the Word. Like this morning, I was thinking, well, I had a lot going on, and I like to get in the Bible, but I didn't. And I think that's where sometimes when you make it a system and you feel like you omit something, how do you go about your day when you haven't read Scripture? Do you make sure you read it at night, or you know, it's kind of like, I guess, you know, when we all make mistakes and we miss something, don't rob Peter to pay Paul, you know what I mean? Make sure you're living the Christian life. It's not just a system of the Bible, but treating people, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. I guess that's where it comes back to your beliefs and your foundation, living that lifestyle, even though the system might always, it's not always the system, but you doing it and living it. But what are your thoughts on that? Say somebody misses, they think, oh, I got to read the Bible every morning, or I got to go to church, I got to say so many rosemaries. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, when we do that, we start saying that these man-made things become our absolute. The fact that I read Scripture every day is not the key thing. What's key is what I learn when I do. And so, yeah, if you miss one day, I remember when I first started it, my mother would come to me and say, well, are you still reading? And I'd say, no, we started again. And so when I realized that I've missed something that is good and been valuable, I say, shucks, I got to change this, and I'm going to put that back in my schedule. And you don't just stop and say, well, I blew it. There's no sense in doing this anymore, any more than if you miss a wrestling practice and you're not a wrestler anymore. Okay, you slept in that one. Let's get up tomorrow. You know, we talk about Gable, but I still remember a day when Gable didn't come to practice, and when he was when we pointed out to him, he never missed again. But every one of us sooner or later along the line missed it.
That's a great point right there, though. These relationships, you're holding me accountable right there. You're stating, hey, this is what needs to happen, and you held Gabe accountable. But that's why putting yourself around those kind of people that are going to hold you accountable, those are really the kind of people you want to be, not the ones that are going to make it easy, but the ones that are going to maybe make it uncomfortable.
Very much so.
Yeah. So
yeah,
thank you.
This is a good time for me to jump in just to piggyback on this to give you a good idea of how specifically the program works. We have 7 different topics with confidence, relaxing under pressure, mental toughness. And one of the core, you know, pillars of mental toughness is obviously knowing who you are as a person, knowing your personal beliefs, your morals, your values, and just your boundaries for behavior. Because a lot of kids just aren't very clear on that. So we help them organize their thoughts and structure themselves where they'll put down on a piece of paper what they believe in. What are their core beliefs about the world themselves as an individual, which can include their religion, their spirituality, and also, like I said, the boundaries of behavior when it comes to tobacco, alcohol, drugs, staying up late, you know, girls. These things that teenagers and you know, athletes in their 20s, they encounter all the time, but rarely do they take time to think about what they believe in. So we have that as one of our exercises under mental toughness. So they'll put that down to paper. Like I said, just listening to me does very little. But until you write it down, then you really have a good grasp on what's important to you. And you can always look back at it. And then after that, we ask them to do homework assignments where every day they do one thing to reaffirm their faith, to reaffirm their personal beliefs, whether it's just reading through this worksheet every day, daily prayer. It could be Bible reading. It could be meditation. Whatever it may be for that person, we're helping them find their way through these worksheets. Okay, and then also, like we said, about having these positive role models to look to, we have the wrestlers identify who mentally tough role models are and then write down those people's names, watch YouTube videos on them, watch flow wrestling videos if they're a wrestler, put their pictures up in their locker, on their books, on their computer screen, on their phone, just they're constantly surrounded with, you know, people like the Petersons, the Brands, Gable, and everyone. Coach McGovern. Having these people as a constant reminder by using these visual images. Those are just some good examples of exercises, concrete exercises and worksheets that we do with the wrestlers to help build these different mindsets. You can see it is systematic where we do give the same program to the people, but everyone is going to use different examples.
Coach Brands, as we wrap up here, you know, I mean, you know, Gene talked about, you know, worksheets and things like that, maybe a little bit more for the younger athlete. What are some of these things that maybe that he does at the younger levels and in the systematic levels that, you know, you look at and be like, okay, well, we're not going to have, you know, Brent Metcalf's not necessarily going to write down things, or does he? What are some things that you guys have done within the Hawk Club, within the University of Iowa that says, okay, here's how you can better yourself, whether you be a person of faith or not? What can you do to really, you know, help get this thing rolling, the things that Gene were just talking about?
Well, the good ones write, they have a log. The good ones write things down. The good ones know how to log. They know how to, you know, keep a wrestling diary, if you want to call it that, or whatever. And you eventually graduate to where maybe you don't have to do it twice a day or once a day, but you're still into it, you know, a couple times a week, and you're writing down things that are working and things that aren't. You're describing your techniques and your feelings and your process in your mind that go forward when you're doing those things. But really, again, we're not going to hold them to it. Even in our youth club, Eastern Iowa Wrestling, we don't make our guys log. It's something that they have to take ownership of. They have to make it their idea, and move forward with it from that way. And really, the one thing that I've seen in everything that we're talking about right now is when you don't force feed it, that's when it takes hold. Some guys, you borderline force feed it to get them to understand what you're talking about, but you really never ever make somebody, okay, we're going to sit down and we're going to write what we're feeling here for 15 minutes. Because that can cause, you know, resentment to, well, I'm never going to do that and that kind of thing. And ultimately,
it really doesn't matter if you make them. What matters is when they want to do it. And that's really what it is when it takes that root in your heart. And that's what champions are. They have that desire. They have that attitude and those things that they take ownership of, whether it's positive or negative. They get rid of the negative and they feed the positive. And that's where we're at with that. But the best ones do long. The best ones do spend time reflecting.
As we wrap up here on episode 16 of the World Wrestling Resource, I want to pitch it back over to Coach Peterson. And Coach, just tell us a little bit about what you've got going on with the Camp of Champs, where they can find you, and all the upcoming things that are in the world of Ben Peterson.
Thank you. Appreciate being able to talk on this thing. You ask about our summer camps. Is that what you're
You've got the Camp of Champs that your brother and yourself have been doing for a number of years. Obviously, they're kicking up in June. You've had some completed camps over the years, but talk a little bit about the camps coming up, their philosophy, and where they can find more about them.
Okay. First of all, you can find Camp of Champs at campofchamps.org and get the flyers and register right online there. But we run Father-Son Camp starting June 12th, and we run Technique Camp starting on the 13th of June, and then we have Champion Camps for juniors and seniors in high school that go the following week in June. So you can find the details there. We have some Technique Camps that also later on. We also all of those camps are in Wisconsin, and we run one in July, a father-son camp in Minnesota. So I invite people to take a look and see about those. Those father-son camps are a lot of fun, getting dads and the boys together from first grade on up, and they spend a ton of time enjoying our facilities and fun things besides the wrestling. Those have really been a lot of fun to work through the years. My brother and I work at most of them. There's a couple of them. He's going to take a trip to Moldova, and so we'll miss a couple of the sessions, but he comes whenever he possible. We bring in other guys whenever to help us now. We're not young whippersnappers, so we have several young college and young coaches helping as well. So thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you on, Coach Peterson, that's for sure. And now we switch over to Gene. And Gene, give us a little bit of a pitch on where they can find the Wrestling Mindset. Obviously, it's at thewrestlingmindset.com. You guys have podcasts floating around there on iTunes. So,
yeah, the big thing is our individual phone sessions that we do, our individual goal program, where once a week we go through different mindset exercises. Again, we view mindset training the same way you look at your strength training or your conditioning. It's something you just can't leave to chance. Right? We all feel pressure from our parents. We don't want to let our dad down. We want our coaches to respect us. We want our teammates to like us. All those kind of things that go on that kind of block us from doing the things that we know we're capable of doing. We see this all the time. Wrestlers who are great practice room wrestlers, and the coaches tell them, just relax in matches. Just be confident. And no one ever tells you exactly how to do it. So just like we know with strength training, if you do squats, you're going to build up your legs. And we know that squats work better than leg extensions, and they work better than leg presses. So the same thing. We know through science there's some exercises you could do with your mindset that are going to work better than others. But once people start viewing this just like strength training or conditioning as a mandatory part of the sport, I think this is really going to explode, because everyone deals with pressure, and no one wants to be let down, and we see people choke all the time. People who are very capable, people who are hard workers, they just can't get that mind right. There's things that block them. So that's what we do with the wrestlers, putting the pen to paper, our individual one-on-one program. Again, wrestlingmindset.com. We're happy to help with any questions, anything anyone needs. You know, we want to be a resource to the wrestling community. We want to see wrestling at the top. We want to see USA Wrestling number one in the world.
This
show is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.